Well, we are wrapping up tonight our series on joy, which is fully titled How to Be Happy Without Being Immature. We've talked about different facets, how Jesus recommends we be happy. He recommends it in a counterintuitive way, like most things that Jesus teaches. There's always a little paradox in what he says. And we've talked over the last 6 or 7 weeks mostly about the connection between joy and selflessness, that Jesus says that if you want to be happy, you don't go out there and pursue selfish desires. Actually, you give yourself away. You get free of yourself. And if you become selfless, you become happy. The main avenue for that is by being loving. If you are a selfless person, if you are not at the center of your life, you actually have a great capacity for loving other people well. You're giving yourself away in order to love other people. And love is really the source of joy in Jesus' worldview. Things can be going really badly in your life. All the circumstances can be cruddy, but you can turn to the person next to you whom you love and hold them and say, "You are a joy to me." And it's that sort of relational love that brings joy in our lives, independent of circumstance. That's what Jesus teaches, and that's what he lived out. In fact, often when life circumstances are extra bad, we get more joy from the people we love. And I think most of us have probably experienced that. When things are going really, really bad in life, you tend to value more the love that you have in your heart. It tends to be more of an anchor for you. So that's one of the advantages. Love also increases the amount of sorrow we have in our life, because we care about more people. And when things go badly for them, you know, it makes us sad. And so Jesus teaches in so many words that Christians should be the happiest and the saddest people on earth. Both. You're both happy and sad. If you do it well, you do it right, your sadness does not compromise your joy. And your joy does not cheapen your sadness. We talked about that last time I was here, a couple weeks ago. Sorrow comes from loving, but this does not at all compromise our joy. So it's independent of circumstance, independent of sorrow. Tonight we're going to talk about the easy life according to Jesus, comfort and ease in this life. A few years ago, I was moving out here. And I drove across the country when I came, because I was living in Boston, and I stopped and visited my stepbrother in Ohio, and he works very, very hard. He's got a little cottage industry that's has to do with the steel industry in Ohio and Pennsylvania where he lives. He does really hard, backbreaking physical labor, and then he was working really hard to try and find a church in the area to take his family to. And the comment he made to me was, "I am just so tired on Sunday morning that I don't want to go to a church that's a drag." That's how he put it. And I could totally appreciate what he was saying. He and I both grew up in a very working class area in Southern Oregon. It's kind of a mill town. Everybody works very, very hard there to get by. It's a hard place to get by. It's sort of economically depressed. And come church Sunday morning, you want something that refreshes people. And if I had not resolved up till that point, I certainly resolved then that if I were ever going to start a church or shape a church as a pastor, I would try to make it a place where people can be refreshed and not where people come and get more burdened than they were to begin with. I don't want people showing up church on a Sunday and feeling more burdened. So I appreciate when Jesus talks about refreshment for the weary. I look around this church, I even think about what people have done this summer. Everybody has worked very hard around here lately. I just got back from Bangladesh and Thailand with the team. TJ and Steve are here. We haven't slept a lot, and we worked hard while we were there. We sent out a team to Africa for the better part of 2 months this summer. I think that was a fairly difficult trip. a lot of ways. Yes, can I hear an amen? Thank you. Kevin spent the entire summer in China doing some work for us. We had people in Brazil, and we were all over the place working hard for the Lord. And the people who stayed here shouldered even more of the burden to make the church work. And this just has to do with our church life together, right? You all have jobs, you work very hard during the week, or you study very hard during the week. You're working hard. Americans are working harder now than ever before, the studies show. And I think Christians are likely to work even harder because we care deeply about what we do. I have one of my personal proverbs, things that I write down to remind myself of what I think are true. One of my personal proverbs is, anyone who cares about something works hard. You think that's true? Anyone who cares about something works hard. Because of the shape of the world. Because there's a lot of difficulty, a lot of labor in the world. If you care about something, you're going to work twice as hard. And Christians care about something. We care about something very much. So we're going to work very, very hard. So it brings us to our scripture for tonight. You find it in the back of your program. Nalani will put it up on the big board behind me. It comes from Matthew. Simple teaching that Jesus gives. Speaking to a lot of people who are working class laborers. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that an inviting verse? Isn't it nice to imagine the Lord saying something like that? Come to me when you're tired, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, that is, you know, put my collar on you, my work collar, and you'll find rest when you do that. If you work for me, you'll find rest, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's not going to weigh you down. It's not going to make your life more difficult. Yoke is easy, and burden is light. This reminds me of one of my favorite lapel buttons, you know, see those things, those slogan buttons that people wear. One of my favorite ones I first saw on a buddy of mine in Chicago said, Jesus is coming back soon. Look busy. Yeah. And I always like that one. But this verse is kind of the contrast to that, right? It's not Jesus is coming back soon, so look busy. You know, look like you're working really hard. Jesus is saying, no, come to me and you'll get refreshed. Come to me and you can take it easy. Does that make sense to you, those of you who have been hanging around Jesus a long time? Does that verse sound like him? I don't believe it, personally. It doesn't sound at all like what Jesus says in other places. It's one of those verses that gives me a big moment. So everybody together, thank you. Let yourself get bothered by this passage. It's hard for me to believe because what I know about following Jesus leads me to expect frequent difficulty in life. Because it has been a very hard-working, difficult summer for us around here. And I don't know how it matches with other verses that Jesus gives us. One that we quote and hear a lot. Jesus says, anyone who wants to follow me must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. So deny yourself. Don't think anything for yourself. Pick up your electric chair every day and, you know, come slump in behind me. That's kind of how Jesus describes life following him. Now, that sounds a little bit different than my yoke is easy and my burden is light, doesn't it? It sounds a little bit easy. So is life with Jesus going to be hard or is it going to be easy? Well, we've talked about joy in this series. We've talked a lot about selflessness, you know, deny yourself and selflessness. And we've concluded that selflessness does actually make it easier to be joyful and happy. Selflessness brings freedom, which is cool. If you're not living for yourself, then you don't have to worry about, success, for instance, because you're not measuring yourself. But it can be a hard discipline. It can be hard to go through life, to wake up every day and not have a care for yourself. Just to think about others. That takes a lot of hard work, right? It takes some gritting of the teeth in the course of a normal day to always prefer other people other people's preferences and desires to your own. Unless you find that easy. I don't. I have to work at that. Loving is joyful. You know, it's wonderful. It's much more joyful to love a person than to hate a person. Because, you know, hating someone kind of makes you miserable. Loving a person kind of makes you happy. But love can be hard work, can't it? You know, love can be hard work. Relationships can often be thorny, knotty, difficult things. And we're called to love and to forgive and to be generous in the course of it. And sometimes that feels like little deaths every day you're doing that. And then there's the whole model of Jesus' life in this respect. You know, he's saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And then you look at how the guy lived during his public ministry. He began as a working man. He was a carpenter, which was very hard work in those days, no power tools. He worked hard for the money. And then he became a beggar once he started his public ministry. He said, I don't have any place to lay my head. I don't have any home. He just walked around doing miracles, and when people gave him money, he ate. When people didn't give him money, he didn't. That was just kind of how the guy lived. So, you know, not a life of ease. And then he had lots of opposition, mostly from religious people during the course of his ministry, and they eventually got mad enough, they murdered him after 24 hours of torture. All right, yoke is easy, burden is light. What do you think? The model of Jesus' life? Are you following after Jesus? How is that going to feel for you? I mean, I get it that the life of following Jesus is a rewarding life. It can even be a joy-giving life, right? But an easy life? Is it really going to be an easy life? Is it really going to help you with your weariness to follow Jesus? That's the question. I have some thoughts on the subject. And these are just thoughts. You might have further thoughts, but I was asking myself, well, okay, what is it about following Jesus that makes life less wearisome for me? If, given that it's often hard work, is there something that's going to make me feel refreshed periodically in following Jesus? What is it that makes this verse true? How can you get away with saying that? That my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and that you will find rest for your souls, refreshment if you follow Jesus. Few thoughts. First, following Jesus and living a selfless life removes all the burdens of self-focus that you have. It removes fear and judgment, fear and self-judgment from your life. And that's good. I find that in my life, I have to work very hard. There's a lot of labor. There's some physical labor. There's some mental labor. But the thing that wearies me most is anxiety. Yeah. So if you're working really hard at something and you're not sure that it's going to pay off, you're not sure that it's going to work out, you're not sure that it counts, that wearies you even more. So as followers of Jesus, we don't have that anxiety. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, worry for nothing. Never be afraid of anything. And that's a privilege that we have as Christians, because God loves us more than we can possibly imagine. We are called to never fear. Now think about that. When you work really, really hard, what tires you more, the work or the worry that you have about the work?
Worry.
Yeah. It might vary day to day, right? But We are free from worry about work. What other worries are we free of when we follow Jesus?
We don't take our burdens on
Him. Right. Well, another way of saying it is that we know that He's concerned about anything that is burdening us, right? So He'll help us out. What else? Those of you who have been around for a while.
We won't burn in hell.
We won't burn in hell, right? Which you might not worry about on a daily basis, but every once in a while when it pops up, it's a considerable concern. Eternal hellfire. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that. What else? I'm sorry, what? You don't have to worry about what other people think, right? So if you're a success, if you're a failure, if you're incredibly good looking, if you're ugly, if you're rich, if you're poor. These are things that people worry about all the time. Seriously, right? Some people get obsessed about them. And you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You're free of the fear of rejection in all regards, right? Because there is no judgment in Jesus. And no cause to judge yourself. Paul says, the Apostle Paul, I do not even judge myself. That's God's job. And he loves me. That's how he puts it. So that's kind of a freeing life. To the degree that that sort of stuff wearies your soul, to the degree that that sort of stuff wears you out in the course of a day, you get to be free of that. And so in that sense, I think the yoke of Jesus is actually light. It's actually strength-giving and not worrying. I think a selfless life of love and following Jesus might multiply your sorrows. You get involved in more people's lives. You're called to be more compassionate. Right? This is a problem with following Jesus. You have to care about everyone in the world. Right? You can never turn your back on anyone. You can never be callous toward the suffering in the world. And that's going to make you sorrowful if you take it seriously. So while that's true, it's also true that every sorrow, every sadness that you feel in life counts. Every sorrow that you feel is important to God. You're never alone in any grief that you feel. And that makes grief easier to bear, in my book. There's some fellowship in your suffering. Did Daniel have a question?
That's good to know.
That's good to know. Amen. Give me an amen.
Amen.
There you go. It's good to know. You never have to be alone. And so your sorrows are always shared. Does that make it easier for you to carry a sorrow? It kind of depends how introverted you are, maybe. Do you really believe that? That what makes you sad, God cares about? Do you really believe that? Because I think that's what Jesus is saying. I think that's what he's teaching. You don't have to be alone in this. You know, it's hard work, but it's not isolated work. So there's that. Your grief has meaning. We talked about meaning and joy. Your grief, your suffering, your sacrifice, it all counts. And that's a tremendous lift to me. Everybody in this life is going to have grief, is going to have suffering, is going to have sacrifice in one form or another. We Christians have the comfort of knowing that it counts. And that's energizing for us. You don't have to be alone in it. And then the third thing I was thinking of, and this is really kind of the heart of what Jesus was talking about in this case, I think. We get religious freedom. Religious freedom. And I'm not talking about religious freedom in, you know, the sense that we as Americans have religious freedom in this country because, you know, we have freedom to worship in any way that we please. The government cannot interfere with it, stuff like that. I mean that following Jesus removes the yoke, the burden of religion entirely. Following Jesus is not really a religion. It's kind of an anti-religion. Because religion is about doing right and wrong. It's like what you have to do to be acceptable to God. That's religion. And Jesus' message was exactly opposite. He came and said, God accepts you. Period. Now whatever you do from here on out, you don't have to do for the sake of acceptance. You don't have to do to make sure God loves you and pays attention to you and stuff like that. So in that sense, it was the anti-religion. So he often spoke against religious rules. The religious teachers of the day would say, oh, you know, well, people have to dress a certain way, have to eat a certain way, have to wash a certain way, have to sacrifice at the temple a certain way, and if they don't keep these standards, then God will not bless them. And that's very burdensome. If you're interested in God and you think that you have to do everything right for him to look kindly upon you, that's a lot of pressure. And I think Jesus was addressing that directly, saying, well, let me take that pressure off. You're accepted. You're in. God loves you. All you have to do is accept the gift I'm giving, and you're in. Doesn't matter. He taught about this thing called, you know, forgiveness and grace as opposed to rule-keeping. And that's why the religious people in Jesus' days were always pissed off at him. My favorite statistic, Jesus had 64 arguments in the gospel, and 62 of them were with religious leaders. He was not a very religious fellow. So you don't have to worry about being right and acceptable. We might have to work hard to follow Jesus. Loving people is hard business. We might have to work hard doing it, but the job security is fantastic. Right? It's really hard to get fired. It's really hard to get rejected and thrown out. And if your jobs during the week had that same condition, you would probably enjoy those jobs a lot better, wouldn't you? All you have to do is show up. All you have to do is kind of keep trying. If you fail at it, that's really not what's important. You showed up and you tried. That's what Jesus is saying. The people who are consumed with thinking about sin, consumed with thinking about rules, I think Jesus finds those people wearisome. Right? So if that applies to you, that will weary your soul if you're consumed with thinking about things that you might be doing wrong or stuff that you have to get right. That will weary your soul. If you get what Jesus is teaching, then you can just have done with all of that. Throw it to the side and never have to think about it anymore. So that's a pretty light yoke. That's good job security. There's lots of other things we might discuss in the sense of what makes you weary. I mean, let me just ask a question. Take a few seconds and think about it. What makes you weary in life? What makes you tired? What's tiring you out right now? I don't know, reflect on it. We already have an answer? Yeah. Okay, other people who are giving you a hard time. Right. Me, I get along with everybody all the time, so that's not really a problem for me, because I'm just so likable. My wife is just smiling politely. Sure, yeah. Other people have different answers. What makes you really tired? What wearies your soul in life? Boredom. All right, yeah. That's a good one. Boredom, lack of purpose, lack of meaning, that might factor in as well. Well, Jesus has an answer for that, doesn't he? Yeah. Other things might be coming to your mind. Whatever your answer is, isn't it good to know that Jesus presents himself as an answer to weariness, as opposed to being a taskmaster? He's very clear about that. I mean, what makes you tired? Jesus says, ask yourself that question, and when you have an answer, come to me. That's his prescription. What makes you tired? You have an answer? All right, come to me and let me help you with that thing. That's Jesus' teaching. He might not say, I'm going to take all of the work out of your life, but if something is wearying your soul, please bring it to me. For anyone who's ever said, God, what do you want from me? That's what this teaching is directed at. Have you ever said that? God, what do you want from me? And why do you say that? Is it because your life just doesn't seem to be working out quite as you expect? Right? God, what do you want from me? And Jesus is saying, oh, well, actually, my message is God wants to do something for you. He doesn't really want anything from you. I don't know that I can fully teach about what he meant by that, but it's good to know that that's his approach. He's a different kind of God and a totally different sort of religion that way. If you try to understand what it's like to follow Jesus without first understanding that he wants to help you with your weariness and not add to your chore list, then Christianity will be tiresome for you. If you first understand that he's quite interested in giving you refreshment and that that's his invitation to you, then Christianity might feel a little bit different for you. Take that and meditate on it and see if you can change the way that you follow Jesus based on that. We have to work hard, but I don't think we have to be weary. We have to work hard, but I don't think we have to worry about being accepted and loved and backed by the living God. We might have to work hard, but we don't have to say, God, what do you want from me? It's in the course of our daily life we can ask, okay, how are you going to bless me this time? How are you going to bless me this time? Where is your grace here? And sometimes you have to puzzle it out, but Jesus says that that's the proper attitude to have. Amen about that?
Amen.
Is anybody tired tonight? Yeah? Go ahead. Raise your hand if you're tired. Raise your hand if you've just traveled for 24 hours to come back from an international trip, or if you've just had your appendix out. If you've had a difficult week on the job. Is that you? All right, so this is what we're going to do. I want to pray for all of you who came tonight who are really, really tired. Those of you who raised your hands. Go ahead, raise your hand again. You're just plumb tuckered. You've had a weary time. Yeah, life is hard, yeah? All right. So normally when I pray for people at the end of the service, I have the people who want prayer stand up. So tonight, everybody stand up except the people who are getting prayer because you're tired. So you guys get to stay seated and everybody stands around you. Yeah, if you're tired, remain seated. Remain seated. And then everybody who stood up, all the tired people, take a moment to look around at them and disparage them in your hearts. All right. And now you people who are standing, gather around the folks who are sitting and just, extend a hand of blessing toward them and let's pray for them. Let the family of Christ give you a little encouragement tonight. I think we might have more tired people than prayers, but that's okay. Lord, I pray that you'd send some ministering angels into the room to lay a hand on all of these tired souls and all these fatigued bodies. And I pray, Lord, that you would impart some refreshment to them. I pray that they would feel the heavy yoke lifting and the light yoke of Jesus upon their shoulders. I pray that all of their anxieties would leave. I pray that their worries about being acceptable to God would leave. I pray, Lord, that your faithfulness would imprint upon their hearts. Holy Spirit, flow through them now. Flow through them now, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving them. Make your love really plain tonight, Lord. Make it clear. Flow, Lord. Flow, Lord. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you do special ministry for those who are suffering the weariness of disappointments tonight, those who have tried really hard and just had it not work out. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them joy in failure. And that their joy at this time would just be a great testimony to you, Lord. For we don't even judge ourselves. We don't have to worry about it. I pray for refreshment tonight, Lord, for those who have received sharp comments from loved ones. I just pray, Lord, that you lavish your love upon them and give them the courage to keep loving, forgiving, turning the other cheek and moving on. I pray, Lord, for healing in relationships. And I pray, Lord, for those who are weary because materially things are difficult, for those who are struggling to have enough money for food and rent. I pray for those who are working to find a job or a better job. Make a way, Lord. Make a way. You yourself promised, Jesus, that you will take care of us. And we submit ourselves to that promise, Lord, by choosing not to worry about money stuff tonight. And just receive our trust as a sacrifice, Lord, and reward it with your faithfulness and provision. We bless you, Lord. Thanks for being a refreshment to us. Praise you that you're not a God who cracks the whip and makes people toe the line. Please make us happy, Lord. Please give us joy, independent of circumstance, independent of sorrow. Please give us joy, Lord. make us a happy group of messed up people. In Christ's name, amen.